Hey, good day, everyone. This is the Patriot Trainer, and welcome to the LifeInvestigated.com podcast. You may also see this on YouTube, Rumble, or other places, but you can also look for it on LifeInvestigated.com. So the title of this podcast is Youth at Risk and the Church. So what is the church doing for the youth at risk, and what are some stats as far as is what youth are dealing with? So I want to relate to, and I'm going to do several podcasts on this as far as youth at risk, because it is a subject that's dear to my heart, has been for many, many years. And it's an avenue or a subject matter that I think we're not discussing and we're not properly motivating within the Christian church. So I want to ask you, church leader, deacon, pastor, youth worker, where are your youth? What are they doing? And what are they experiencing in life? I mean, what experiences are they truly validating as good or bad? Do we ever ask them? And for those that aren't in our youth groups or in our churches, do we go after them to get them in our youth groups and our churches? I can tell you this, not much likelihood of them coming to you, pastor, or elder, or youth minister. You're going to have to go to them. You're going to have to find out where they're at, what they're doing, and you're going to have to find a way to message them, to minister to them, and to get them involved. The one thing that I'm convinced of, today's younger generation, the high school age children and some younger, what they really want is somebody to be sincere with them and be truthful with them. It seemed to me like for a while in the church world, we got into an entertainment venue for our youth programs. How many video games could we have? How many pizza parties could we have? Et cetera, et cetera. How many dynamic rock music oriented Christian concerts could we take them to, and et cetera, et cetera. And that may have been okay for a particular generation. You may have had some success in a particular generation, but I think, well, number one, I think those methods were somewhat ineffective. I don't think they really produced the disciples that we were all looking for to carry on the message and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I think this generation now, I think they saw through it. Matter of fact, some of their parents experienced that and were the youth in those programs. And their parents are drug addicts and out on the street, unemployed, or living day to day, trying to get whatever charity they can get or get by. And, they're seeing firsthand the failures of social programs. They're seeing firsthand the failure of church programs. So they're looking for something different. And I do believe we are approaching these years or days of the last days. So in that, I believe there will be a resurgence of a young people coming to Christ. Now, I believe it'll just be simply the fulfillment of the prophecy that Peter and Joel both gave all of those years ago, that in the last days, the Spirit would be poured out upon these young people. I don't believe it's a new thing coming. I believe it has happened throughout the years, time after time again, but I believe we in the church possibly forgot about that. And we just got so much into programming and how we can entertain. And we forgot to teach about the gifts of the Spirit. We forgot to teach about those dreams and visions and words of prophecy. And one reason I believe we're getting ready to experience a resurgence of Holy Ghost movement in youth is because of a dream that I had some time ago. And I've got to find that. I wrote it down. I put it on podcast, but it seems to me that it's disappeared somehow. But it was very vivid. And a lot of this resurgence of miracle signs and wonders and the regrouping of the youth to go out and carry on the gospel of Jesus Christ, actually going to be from the discarded youth. It's not going to be from your, primarily from your children in your church that you have discipled through your programs for the years. This is going to come from an entirely different direction, and that's how God works so many times. But I was reading a youth risk behavior survey from 2021 that the Commonwealth of Virginia produced. Now, I don't always put a lot of credence into anything any government agency produces. However, this one seems like it's some, at least to some extent, well thought out and well produced. And it's multi-level survey. And I've just picked one survey today to particularly talk about. And again, it's risk behaviors as the Commonwealth of Virginia have assessed them. So on this one particular page I'm looking at today, there are four questions. Question number one, the percentage of students who felt sad or hopeless almost every day for greater than 2 weeks in a row, so much so that they stopped doing some of their usual activities ever during the 12 months before the survey. Question number two, percentage of students who seriously considered attempting suicide during the 12 months before the survey. Question number three, percentage of students who made a plan about how they would attempt suicide during the 12 months before the survey. And question number four, percentage of students who actually attempted suicide one or more times before the survey. Now, just let me say this, and here's the distressing part about the survey. These stats have increased. But today I want to address the question, the percentage of students who felt sad or hopeless almost every day for greater than 2 weeks in a row, that they stopped doing some usual activities. So this survey that I've got in front of me today goes back to 2011. So in 2011, 25.5%, 2013, 25.7%, 2015, 26.9%, 2017, 29.5%, 2019, 32.4%, and here is just a drastic increase. 2021, 38.2% of these students, high school age students surveyed, said they felt sad or hopeless every day for greater than 2 weeks, that it caused them to even stop activities that they were accustomed to doing or even enjoyed doing. Now, folks, something's going wrong. Something's going wrong in society. And when something is going wrong in society, that directly also comes back to our laps as believers in Jesus Christ, to the ecclesia, to the body of Christ, to the leadership, no matter what denomination or independent work you're in. Somewhere along the line, that has to come back to reflect us, our efforts, our programming, and what we are seeking out to do for our young people, for the next generation that will not only lead the world, but will lead the church. And until Jesus Christ comes back, there's one thing that he made clearly imperative is this, that there must be somebody preaching the gospel. There must be somebody discipling students. There must be a preparation from his body, the ecclesia. There must be some preparation from that ecclesia to aid in his return. So, folks, we got to quit dropping the ball here. We've got to re-examine what we're doing when it comes to young people. And again, as I said at the very beginning of this podcast, they're most likely, especially these street kids and these kids that have a hard life and unimaginable environments that a lot of us could not even begin to understand because of the evil that surrounds, because of the enemy called Satan, and because society has so turned against youth. Now, the politicians can talk all they want to about youth and the young generation. The politicians are doing nothing for anybody, much less the youth. So it's imperative to us to get the ball going. So what I want to tell you, and we're going to examine this in a series, okay? This is not the only podcast I'm going to do about the youth. But we've got to seriously, if you are in a church that you have to have a board meeting for everything, and you have to, or a congregational church that you have to get all the church members together to move forward in any process, then just let me say, it's time to start that. And let me say this too. If you have an organized youth program, and you may think that you're being successful, so maybe you're a relatively, 400 or 500 member church, and you have 75 or 100 kids in youth ministry, and you're so proud of yourself because of how much you do and how successful. When's the last time you got down, your youth leaders got down one-on-one with these kids and asked them what they are really feeling, experiencing, and thinking? So I think a lot of times we elder folks, we are like ostriches that like to stick our head in the sand over certain issues because we already know we don't really have the answer, or we feel like we don't. That's the problem with our faith. We actually do have the answer, and this is not a generic response or a cliche. We do have the true answer. The answer relies in our born-again man. It relies on that faith that we have instilled in us upon the confidence of our salvation and the confidence of a preeminent God, and his name is Jesus. We have quit relying on the hem of his garment, as the lady with the issue of blood did. She grabbed hold. She said, I had to, because there was no other choice for me. And she grabbed hold of the power and the anointing and the process to get done what she needed done, which was to be made whole. We've got to quit saying that we don't really have the answers. We do have the answers, but we're not going to do it until we latch on to the hem of his garment, just like that lady did, with that kind of determination that we're going to build some youth programs. But more importantly, we as the elders of the church, we are finally, for once in our life, going to learn to step out of the way of the Holy Spirit and his workings, and step out of the way of the youth that God has anointed and ordained to lead these programs, and let some of these programs have some autonomy to lead themselves. We are the counselors who stand by. We are the shepherds who gently push them back into scriptural or biblical order if needed when they start to get astray. But we've got to let some empowerment come to our youth, especially the older youth that are demonstrating the talents and the anointings and the sincere desire to lead their generation. So hopefully this will get you thinking. Maybe tonight you can have a board meeting and say, where are all the youth? Let's go find them. Are the youth here? Why aren't they really demonstrating the gifts of the Spirit? Why aren't they really demonstrating spiritual leadership? What can we do to help them? So until next time, which we are going to have several next times on this subject matter in this podcast at lifeinvestigated.com, just be sure you stay tuned in with me and pray with me and help me along through this. Thank you so much.